Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, December 29th. Welcome back from Christmas.
Thanks.
Hi, Jen.
Hi.
Wow. What a holiday, huh?
Yes.
Did you have a good time?
I had a great time. I'm still recovering.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like my eyes are really puffy still, and my face probably shows how much I ate.
Really?
Yeah.
And you also had a birthday last week.
I did.
So all that put together, you probably all pooped out and partied out.
I am. I actually think I'm starting to get sick, of course.
Because, really?
You know, that's just
Wow.
I'll try not to sniffle too much this morning.
Yeah. And your mom was here. She was really sweet. You know,
thanks.
I enjoyed having her on the show for a couple of days. And so she's back home okay?
Yeah. She left Friday night on the red eye, got back Saturday morning.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. And I wanted to... I forgot what I wanted to say, but Christmas was good. You know, it was it wasn't Christmas weather, but then again, it never is out
right.
here, right?
No. What did you do for Christmas?
What did I do for Christmas? I don't know. We went out, ate. I don't know. Never went to a movie or anything. Did you go to a movie?
No, we didn't. We watched a bunch of movies, but we started the day at my uncle's in the Palisades, did presents, breakfast with everybody, took a bunch of pictures. Then we watched, what did we watch? Love Actually.
Oh, wow. And what then, a great movie to watch on Christmas.
So huh? great.
Yeah.
And then we watched A Christmas Story, which I cannot stand,
really?
But it was on. I don't know why that movie is like the token Christmas movie. That and It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
I wish they played movies more like White Christmas or Holiday Inn, like the classics, but not A Christmas Story.
No, that's not a good movie. You don't like it?
I can't stand it. All they do the entire movie is yell and cry.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that like a drama or something?
No, it's just so cheesy and old that I think that maybe was cool at the time. It's just like the world's worst family. It's like the most annoying family possible.
Wow.
Yeah, like if the networks wanted to call and ask like my opinion what movies they should play for Christmas, definitely not that.
That would not be one of them.
No. I actually watched Fred Claus yesterday just because I really want to keep the spirit going, and I'm not ready for it to leave. I'm sure a lot of people out there feel the same way.
I know. It's like you get withdrawals after Christmas is over, right?
It's like depression a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not depressed, but I am sad because you wait the whole year and then all of a sudden, poof, it's gone.
I know. And it's like built up so much, you know? I mean, everywhere. It's just festive and everything. And then suddenly you just let down. The next day is the same.
Exactly.
As any other day.
Exactly. Like no other holiday has that same effect. Like,
right.
It just comes and goes.
Yeah. Because the buildup, I think, is so big also.
Right.
You know?
The decorating, the present buying, the planning, making sure you see everybody. You know, there's a lot that goes into Christmas.
Yeah. Families getting together, you know, flying across the country like your mom did.
Right.
People do that all the time.
That's why they say 'tis the season. It's not just one day.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah.
Well, we'll just try and stay festive until at least the end of New Year's. And, you know, so we have another week.
We do.
Yeah, kind of a holiday, but, you know.
Tomorrow I have my best friend's 30th birthday. And then Wednesday is New Year's Eve. So it's like another action-packed week.
That's true, yeah. Well, good for you. Keeps you busy.
It does.
Yeah, that's
And then
nice.
January will roll around and I'll be like, what do I do with myself?
Yeah, I know.
I guess I'll start on these resolutions.
You know, you start planning for something new, you know, in January and stuff, and having to deal with all the taxes and everything. I'm not looking forward to that at all.
No, I love doing taxes.
Really?
I'm such a weirdo, but it's probably because I get money back from the government still.
Maybe, yeah, and you don't have a business either, or maybe you do, but, you know, it's like a pain in the ass to do these things.
Well, I love my accountant. He is like a magician.
Really?
So I go the first day you can possibly go with my best friend.
Well, good for you. It's because you get money back. I don't blame you.
And we have like a challenge. Like my best friend and I are like, okay, who's going to get more back?
Uh-huh.
So we make our accountant like try and figure it out. And like we both want to win.
Really? Wow. My personal ones, I do myself, you know. I mean, I kind of enjoy that, but not when it comes down time to pay.
Right.
And, you know, but what are you going to do? You know, it's a fact of life, taxes, right?
Yep, it is.
Nothing we can do about it.
No, not unless we move.
Yeah. So, well, it's cool, except it's been very cold. Did you notice how cold it's been?
Yes, and I love it.
Do you?
I do.
I know, it's like the air is crisp, huh?
Yeah, and I finally like get to wear my, like, for real fall winter clothes.
Right.
I'm wearing a scarf today, just because.
Yeah, I know, because you can, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go, you see?
I like it.
I know, I like that look. I like the winter look, you know, and we don't get a lot of that here.
No, we'll probably have it for, like, a week. And then
you know, I mean, I go to the stores, I see like nice winter clothes, and I'm like, who buys this stuff in LA? You know, it's not cold enough.
People in LA that are traveling.
Yeah, I guess. It's just not cold enough to wear this stuff. You get in the car and it's really warm. You know, you go outside, it's like, why did I wear the coat in the car? So, you know, whatever. In a few minutes, we're going to get to a very special guest, and, so let's just catch up on a couple of things about the missing plane. Mm-hmm. You probably heard of that.
Yeah.
Another missing plane about in the same part of the world as the Malaysia Air one.
Yeah.
Air Malaysia. And the plane has disappeared.
Again. Another plane that's disappeared.
Yeah.
And apparently when it was, you know, in air, it was the pilots called air traffic control and asked if they could do a different route because of the weather conditions.
Right.
And they didn't approve the route.
Right. There was a, well, it was a, yeah, it was a big storm. And I guess they were trying to explain this on TV. And I guess the storm, it's like vertically, it was higher than the plane can climb.
Right.
So they couldn't go above it. And I guess they couldn't go around it or something. Maybe it was too late.
Right. Well, I guess air traffic control said you can go left, but you can't go up.
Yeah.
And then, so critics are saying that, you know, maybe they just did it anyway. And that's what happened.
Okay,
and then like an hour later, they were declared missing.
Yeah. Wow. I know. How scary, man.
So scary because, you know, what's going on over there?
I know.
These planes keep going down. And what's the difference between over there and over here?
Yeah.
What are we doing differently?
I don't know, but I don't want to go there.
No, but you know what's so crazy is that people travel over there. You know, it's like people travel to Indonesia and Bali and, and Asia. And
all the time.
It's scary because, you know, once you get over there, you think you can still hop around by plane and it'll be safe because all planes should be doing the same things. But I guess it's not the case.
No, that's not the case. And, you know, I mean, it's an Airbus plane. It's not just, you know, a piece of crap.
Right.
So it's you know, it's supposed to handle this. But that's what I'm saying, man. I mean, I'm getting more scared from planes.
This is like your worst nightmare.
Ever have. Yeah, it is. Think about it. I mean, you have time to actually think, I'm dying, man. I'm dying.
Right.
Wow.
And, you know, they say that this plane probably didn't land like they landed the plane in the Hudson River in New York.
Remember when Charlie just crashed.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And this
that's okay, but you don't feel anything. I mean, you die on impact, you know.
Right. It breaks your neck, I think, is what happens.
Well, more than that.
Well, yeah. But like, right? And you, like, light up in fire, probably.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
Like, you know what they say?
Pieces all over.
Right. You know what they say that, like, when you're going down, you're supposed to put your head on your legs or something like that? Well, that's apparently to make your neck break on impact.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which I think it is not. I wouldn't want to do that.
Well, you don't want to stay alive after impact either, I don't think.
I don't know what I'd pick, because if I knew where I was landing, maybe I would make a choice. Like, oh, that's a possibility for being saved, you know? Or,
yeah, right.
Like, how great am I at swimming?
30,000 feet, probably vertically.
Yikes.
Yeah. There's not going to be much left of anything. But anyway, let's talk about good things. Let's get to our guest. And we have a stunningly beautiful woman in the studio. And her name is Katrina Van Durham, right?
Yes, hello.
Did I say it correct?
Yes, you did.
Welcome to the show, Katrina.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Now, I had to do a double take here because they're saying you're like 40 years old.
I will be next year, yes.
Wow. Wow. Can you believe it, Jen?
No.
I mean, I wouldn't give her a day over 30.
Didn't my publicist pitch me as 40-year-old woman or something?
Yeah, I mean, no. But I mean, they're saying your age, which is, I mean, they're saying it obviously in a good way that you're still gracing magazines and high demand and stuff. But yeah, I mean, that's amazing because, I mean, even in the 30s, I would imagine it's a lot harder for models because they usually look for very young ones, right?
Yeah, but, you know, I think that's why at some point you have to create your own projects, you know, and you can't just rely on your agent or going out for castings for roles that where you're competing with somebody who's 22.
That's true.
I don't hold on to the modeling. I got out of it pretty much, but I like the whole industry. So, you know, that's why I ventured out other areas of the industry.
Right.
Yeah.
And so let's first talk about your endeavor here. You started a magazine, and it has a website and in a print version, which I was very impressed with. I mean, it's very, it's glossy.
It is.
It's high quality. And it's called Viva Glam Magazine. And you guys can follow on vivaglammagazine.com. And you can see a lot of the stuff that's going on. But yeah, I didn't expect such a high-end type of a magazine, Katrina. How did this come about?
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, I came from L.A. and the entertainment industry and everything fabulous and glamorous. And I just never found a magazine that caters towards fabulous women or who strive to be simply glamorous or gorgeous, beautiful. Every magazine, at least here in the United States, to me, comes across very plain Jane, which is fine, but from my experience coming across women here in Hollywood and other places as well, every woman always wants to be beautiful and glamorous and fabulous. What is the secret to have these eyes and, you know, look beautiful and have the hair like this, you know?
Right.
And I just didn't feel there's a magazine like that. So I created my own thing, which is independent. And it is a very high quality publication where, you know, I combine everything I've learned in the entertainment industry and I try to bring it to everyday woman that anybody, every woman can look fabulous and beautiful and like a superstar.
Right.
So if you subscribe to the magazine, you, I guarantee you, you will receive nothing but literally a book of fabulousness and the little tricks how to look like a superstar or or model or actress or anybody.
Right. Now, how many pages does the magazine have?
It's a little bit over 200.
200. And it has advertising and stuff as well.
Very, very few.
Really?
We limited, yes. Because when I was researching magazines before I got into it, you know, one of the two biggest complaints from women about magazines was too many
ads.
Ads,
especially
exactly.
In like in all those like other magazines, the L and things like that.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much all of them. It's just nothing but advertisement and no information.
Right.
No content, no original writing and stuff. So I just really pride ourselves having over 200 pages pure content that we write, you know, that we have amazing contributors and photographers. And it's a content and material you don't see anywhere else because we created 90% from scratch.
Right. It's not like recycled stuff.
Exactly. It's like we're not owned by any big corporation. So, you know, usually they submit, you know, the same stuff to other magazines and then you see the same
right.
Photography, you know,
right.
There and stuff. So.
So that's amazing. I mean, this is a big undertaking, you know. I mean, it's not like something small to start a magazine. There's a lot of people involved and everything, a lot of different variables. How did you approach this? I mean, wasn't this like overwhelming for you when you first started it?
You know, I think sometimes it's better you don't know what you're getting yourself into. Because I think many people, because of the fear, they don't end up doing anything, you know.
Right.
And they
that's
just
true.
End up living on an autopilot whole life and working somewhere where they're not fulfilled. So I believe everything is possible, and I think that's my rule. And I just, in life, I guess, just believe anything I want, I can achieve.
Wow.
You know, the universe will show me the way as I go. And I think that's pretty much what happened, you know. I knew I want to have a publication that redefines glam and shows women in very glamorous, beautiful, sexy, but classy way.
Right.
Because that's what lots of women strive to be. And thank God, you know, thank God to technology we have today, you know, the internet. You can work with people across the globe, literally via email. And, you know, I have my graphic team in Europe. I have my printer overseas, you know, I have contributors across the United States, you know, and it's just amazing to wake up and have these exciting things in your email and you just work with it. So literally, I mean, it's been fun. It's lots of hard work for sure.
Yeah, I can imagine. Have you done anything like this before?
I do have a background in graphic design and I produced lots of photo shoots for different magazines in the past, and plus the modeling and plus beauty industry like makeup and hair. So like I said, I just combine everything I've learned in the entertainment industry here in Hollywood over the past decade and just created Viva Glam.
That's cool. And we'll learn about you and your life story in just a minute, but I wanted to focus on the magazine a little bit. So I see there's a lot of sections. There's beauty, fashion, food, entertainment, love, wellness, videos. I mean, there's like a lot of stuff here.
It's a lifestyle magazine. It's for women who strive to be fabulous and beautiful and live a luxurious life, but not necessarily just from the money stand. It's more about having a heart in everything you do and being compassionate. And we like to feature lots of the vegan brands and cruelty-free and really show that truly beautiful woman is the one who has a heart. Because I think that's what makes women truly beautiful and glow and not maybe look their age is when they have a big heart. I think that's what men love about women, too, when they are feminine.
True. That's true, yeah. So you're a vegan too, right?
I am, yeah.
Wow. Jen, are you a vegan?
No, I'm not, but I don't eat red meat.
You don't?
Good job.
But you eat chicken and fish and things like that, right?
Yeah, poultry and fish.
But you don't eat any of that?
No. I've been a vegan for 20 years.
Really? And you find it, I mean, you look great, you know, so it's not like some people are saying it's not enough, you're not getting all your nutrition and everything. But
I think vegan diet actually keeps me, you know, looking younger and glowing because I look at everything from like not just, you know, a food level, but also spiritual level and energy level. And to me, you are what you eat, literally on physical, mental, spiritual level. And if you digest meat, you know, if you don't get a good quality meat, if it's from a slaughterhouse that's, you know, really treating animals poorly and torturing them, I do believe that that's encoded in their blood, and then that goes into your digestive system as you eat it, and it affects your brain, it affects your chemicals in brain. People get depressed lots of times, and I don't think they realize it's from eating, you know, meat that comes from an animal that was treating poorly and stuff.
Right.
And I think it's not just my theory, this is a scientifically proven fact.
Really?
That's been around for a long time. Just I think I have, you know, knowledge about it because I'm a vegan, but I think that's a key, you know, just minimize the meat or really, you know, look for the source where you're getting it from, you know.
Right.
I'm not against necessarily eating meat, but if I could, I would wish for the whole world to go vegan.
Right. Because you love animals.
I love animals. You know, I just love life. I love my own life. And I can't imagine that being taken away from me by some criminal. Or in the same thing when I watch my pets and animals, how much they love each other. And it's hard for me to imagine that somebody takes their life just for their stomach or food or taste buds or anything like that.
Right.
I met a guy on the train 20 years ago who was a vegan back in Europe. And he told me, I asked him, do you really think it's possible to be a vegan? Because I was the biggest meat eater growing up in Central Europe. Yes. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Where are you originally from?
I'm from the former Czechoslovakia.
Oh,
so we always raised a pig every fall. We would kill it, you know, and utilize everything I would eat. All the liver that was there.
Oh, wow.
Blood soup, blood sausage, and you name it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I met this man on the train, and, you know, I asked him, I'm like, do you really think it's possible to live without eating meat? He's like, absolutely. And I remember looking at him, and he had such a good skin and the color in his face, and he looked so peaceful. And I don't know, there was just something that impressed me. And I tried, and I came home, and I told my mom, Mom, make me my last beef stew with potatoes. And believe it or not, it was over 20 years ago. It was my last meat.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't see a lot of people that have been vegans for so long, you know. I've met people that have experimented with it or, you know, a few years. But 20 years is a long time.
Yeah, so, I started as a vegetarian.
So you committed.
Yeah.
You committed to that lifestyle.
I did. Because it took me to understanding things on a higher level than just food. And I think that belief, the strong belief within me, just I couldn't possibly imagine eating meat again. You know, it's just to me, it's like blocked completely by now.
Right.
Yeah.
I could eat probably dairy or eggs, you know, but not meat.
Yeah.
I feel that way too. I haven't had meat, red meat, since I was 12.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So, and now you're what, 15?
Exactly.
Yeah, for 3 years. Yeah.
But yeah, I guess it's been, well, I'm 30. So
18 years.
Yeah, I could not even imagine chewing a piece of meat.
Right. That's the thing. Chewing, when you really think about what you're chewing.
Right. Yeah. And I just wouldn't. I stopped because I was just a brat and I was 12. And like, yeah. I was just like, no more red meat, please, mom, stop. Yeah. She would make me something every single day and I like couldn't handle it anymore.
Yeah.
So I ate just chicken and fish. But the thought of chewing meat and like knowing what kind of animal it was and the whole thing, I just wouldn't be able
to. And then
to.
When you really
I feel sick.
Yeah, and then when you really talk to people who are in the industry, and I know someone who actually used to own an inspection place in Connecticut, I believe, for meat, and when he told me about the whole process, how the inspection works, he himself went vegetarian. He was someone from New Zealand who, you know, they are known for amazing quality of dairy products and meat in general. So when he told me what goes into it, he said, I just couldn't ever eat meat again. And not to go into details,
right.
But once you understand that the what you think it's blood in the meat when you're buying it in the store, it's actually not. It's a red dye. Once you really start processing it, then you know, I just can't go back. I can't imagine.
Wow, that's amazing. Because I love meat, you know, but this gets me to think about it, you know, because usually we don't think about it. And meat is not always great. You know, I mean, I had steak the other night and it wasn't that great. I felt like my teeth and my stomach had to work extra hard to digest it.
They probably do. I mean, I remember when I used to eat meat, I would be falling asleep at 1 p.m. after lunch. I never have acid reflux. I never have any issues. I'm never sick, really. Like, I haven't been sick for 5 years, probably.
Wow, very cool.
You know, and my cousin actually just passed away. He was 29 from eating lots of cholesterol. And, you know, that's the mentality there. Lots of meat and lard and fat.
Yeah.
And my mom has now a gallbladder issue. And my other uncle just passed away from a stomach issue. And I just remember growing up in Central Europe thinking, I want to avoid this as much as I can because so many people around me already at that time were kind of, you know, sick or had diabetes or all kinds of health issues. And I just wanted to enjoy my life.
Yeah. Wow.
And health, you know, they say health comes first. And I think it's underestimated lots of times. But you should really do anything it takes to make sure you're healthy so you can enjoy things in life and people and family as long as you can and healthy.
That's true. Very great philosophy. I like that.
Me too.
So we're talking with Katrina Van Durham, and her magazine is VivaGlamMagazine.com. And, of course, that's just the website for the magazine. The magazine is a glossy piece. So tell us an example of some of the stories that are in there. What do you guys talk about?
You know, every issue is a theme issue. So we always wrap it around, you know, certain themes. So this past one is fashion issue. And so we focus more on designers and fashion. But obviously we have always organic, holistic type of features, you know, like how to make a magical tea in this season, you know, when everybody's sick. And, you know, there's a ginger root that you buy, like organic ginger root. You take cinnamon and you take organic lemon, which you cut in half and boil it and keep drinking all day till it flushes off all the toxins. And there's so many remedies that actually work. And I've collected and I work with lots of holistic people and contributors that we even tested. So, you know, we like to expose people to this information because we're not bought by anyone. Nobody's paying us to feature them, you know. So we just really try to bring valued information also regarding, you know, animals and what's going on with rhinos and what's going on, you know, in other places in the world, and lots of celebrities, obviously, features and everything gorgeous and fabulous. But, you know, vegan alternatives. It's not a vegan magazine, but we like to focus on it since we're talking about vegan.
Right.
You know, how you can have that fur coat that looks just like fur, but it's not fur, and where to buy it, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
So
I know, furs, I don't get furs, you know? I mean, this is like, I can understand food, okay? People feel they need to eat and
right.
stuff. But fur, come on, you know?
Especially in Los Angeles, you know?
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned the rhinos, and we had a gentleman here who is doing a film on that, on the rhinos being almost extinct now.
Yeah.
The way people kill them and stuff and hunt them down. And so this is cool. I mean, so you're concerned with the environment, with everything.
Like I said, I just love life, you know, and I think everybody deserves to enjoy life and everything that comes with it. And I think nature is such a major role, obviously, in everyone's life, you know, and we need to take care of it, and we need to plant more trees, you know. We need to, if we kill a tree, we need to plant a new one, not just kill it, you know. So even with gas, I don't think the cars are such a huge issue necessary, you know, and the gas and all that. I just don't think we have enough greenery to filter it,
right?
Because we know how carbon dioxide gets converted to oxygen by sunshine, especially in California,
right?
And daylight and the chlorophyll and stuff, right. So you know, I think there's simple things that if I wish people just cared about a little bit more, we could probably, like, save this world a little bit, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's interesting. So, I mean, how did you get to all this? Did you have, like, a childhood that sort of, like, drove you into this? I mean, did you have a childhood where you weren't exposed to a healthy lifestyle and things like that?
You know, I think I am very blessed. Not that I think. I know I am very blessed. Uh-huh. I got the nicest mom and dad. Very nice, kind people. And my childhood was very humble, very, you know, basic. I mean, we didn't even have running water till I was 10.
Wow.
We were, you know, we lived in a one-bedroom house and had a wood stove and, you know, outhouse outside. So
wow.
I remember the very, very basic living. And I think I just learned to be happy with having nothing almost.
Right.
So now when I have something, I'm, like, extremely happy, you know, and I don't need to have a new Louis Vuitton purse, you know, but I can have, you know, something more unique and handmade, and that makes me as happy, you know.
Right.
So having the beautiful childhood and then seeing people on the other side, like, not being grateful and taking life for granted and taking health for granted and, you know, hunting in the other side of the world, you know, it made me really think about all this and where I want to be when I grow up, where I want to have a stand in life, and what mission I want to have. You know, I think everybody should find their mission.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we all have it, just not everyone finds it, you know.
Yeah. So your mission is this magazine and what you deliver in
it. It's the whole brand. It starts with the magazine. Obviously, we want to build a whole brand around it with fashion line and with, you know, other products, cosmetics eventually. So this is just a beginning to get the message across, to really introduce ourselves and our thinking and spread positive energy and heal people or whatever, you know.
Right.
But this is the beginning, you know.
Yeah.
And who doesn't like to look at beautiful girls anyway?
There you go. Yeah, who doesn't? So is this the first issue that you brought in?
No. This is, we started in 2012. The first year we were only digital because I thought that's the way to go because that's the future. But I actually got turned out by lots of design houses and brands because they actually still want print issue.
Right.
So then I just decided to try to do one issue, and it had a great feedback. So we're in print quarterly. So
we have four
issues a year, yeah.
Very cool. You see, because I love print stuff.
Many people still do.
Yeah,
it's not that like people assume it is.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm sort of sad that print is going away, you know. But it's not going to disappear anytime soon. You know, I went to the bookstore the other day, and although they closed most of them down, there's still a couple left here in the valley. And the number of people that were in the stores, I thought, why are they closing them down? It seems to me like they're making a lot of money. They're very busy. And, you know, but everything is going digital. And it's interesting that you started digital and then you decided, I want to go to print.
Yes. And
because the logistics are so much more complicated in print.
Well, yes. But also, I think the whole issue right now, I mean, I don't think it's a really issue, but print going out of business, it's more complex than people think. Oh, it's going out of business. No, it's not. Maybe technology magazines or car magazines or magazines of that kind. But when it comes to fashion or beauty or travel, people still want to see print. They want to flip that page and see that gorgeous Bali resort or something, you know? So it depends what type of a magazine you're doing. And I think because there's so many crappy magazines these days, I think it's really narrowing down to good quality, and only the good ones will remain, and they will be collectible. They will be valued more, and, you know, you won't throw them away. So I think print will be around for another at least 20 years, you know?
At least. Good. Until we get old, at least, you know? Once we're gone,
In 20 years, we won't even need an internet.
Wow. So the magazine is Viva Glam magazine. Now, so let's find out a little bit about you and your background and stuff. So you grew up in Czechoslovakia, and it was still Czechoslovakia yes. back then, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you lived humbly, I guess. Did you live in the city or?
No, I lived in a place of 1,000 people.
Really?
Like
a very small town.
Very, very small town.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is interesting that you end up like in Hollywood and everything, you know. So mm-hmm. how did that come about? I mean, you had a nice childhood, right?
Yes.
Do you have siblings?
I have a brother. He lives in Ireland.
Oh, okay.
So my parents are by themselves, you know.
Yeah, I know. That's usually the case.
Yeah, and it's just so sad, I guess, because, you know, you would hope once you have a kid or children, you know, they're going to take care of you when
right.
you're old. And look at us. Me and my brother are gone. Bye-bye.
I know. The same with my family. The same thing, you know. So, and I know, that's why you bring kids so they'll take care of you and you'll have company and stuff when you're older, then they leave, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, but I remember since I was about 9 years old, you know, I started being very curious about American lifestyle. And I think lots of, at that time, because we were still, you know, in socialism, there was lots of the black market stuff that would flood the country, you know,
right.
and we would buy, you know, American records and
right.
American
Levi's and
the Levi's and the acid wash jeans and all that stuff. So I think, you know, when something is taboo, it's more interesting. So I was always so curious about American anything, you know.
Right.
And once, you know, the Iron Gate went down, obviously, you know, we all started getting all these American magazines and entertainment and movies and shows. And we started wondering, you know, it looks pretty cool in California, you know. But then, you know, in the 90s, it was the hardest thing to leave because after basically socialism was over, everybody wanted to leave. Everybody wanted to go to America. And,
right.
and the government knew it. So
they wouldn't let them.
They wouldn't let them. Like, you had to really, really, like, you know, have a house and kids that stay there and they just let you go because they know you're going to come back.
Right,
and
if you have a reason to come back
right,
and stuff.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I was 22. I had nothing. I mean, I was free spirit. I had blonde bleached hair. That was about it, you know. So I got very, very lucky and I found a way to come here and I came here in 1998, yeah.
Oh, wow. So you decided L.A. is the place for you.
Yeah, I was just like, where is it the place where it's like a never-ending summer and sunshine? And, oh, California. Okay, yeah, that's where I'm going.
Or you could have gone to Miami too, you know. But
I was thinking either or, but then
really?
The deciding factor was entertainment.
Right,
show
yeah.
business, yeah.
It's Hollywood. That's why we're all here, right?
Yeah.
So you see, Jen, you got to feel fortunate you were born in a country where people from all over the world want to come to.
Absolutely.
You know, and I remember when I was a kid, I was also fascinated with America, you know. I mean, you'd have a new kid on the block that came from America or something, and he'd bring all these cool toys and skateboards and stuff, which we didn't have at the time. So it's like you go, wow, you know, I've got to go there.
The
you
coolest
know?
Thing, yeah.
You see the movies, the American movies, you know, the music and everything, the fashion, and you become enamored with this country.
Yeah.
So did you come by yourself then?
I did come by myself. And
wow.
How brave.
Yeah, you know, once again, like, I just believe that everything is possible. And if I knew what I'm getting myself into, probably I would never have guts to come here because I obviously went through lots of hard times here the first years and stuff. But, you know, they say the best way to learn to swim is to throw you in the pool, right?
Right.
So I think that's kind of what I did, you know, just always keep your morals and values, you know, and make sure that when you wake up every day, you're going to have no regrets and you can look into your parents' eyes, you know. So I just kept these things in my mind. I just kept going till I came here to Sam's talk show.
Awesome. Awesome. So you came here in the 90s, right?
Yes.
And L.A. was obviously different back then and stuff. What did you, what did you do right away? Because many people move here, and I'm always fascinated. What do? You find a place right away to live? Do you live in a motel? How does it happen?
Well, 2 days, I think it was 2 days before I flew here, I got a phone number from a friend of mine who knew someone who has a little company here. She was from Czech Republic. So I called her, hey, is there any way you can help me out and pick me up at the airport? Because I have no clue where to go or anything. So I was so lucky that she was one of the nicest people and very helpful. And she picked me up and I stayed with her for the first 4 days. And then she helped me to find a place with another, you know, Czech people, like in Orange County, you know, so we would share an apartment, like six of us or something. Wow. And, you know, and that's, you know, that's how I kind of started doing all kinds of, like, passing out flyers for $6 an hour, selling ice cream, wow. and, you know, selling soda.
Yeah,
and,
so you paid your dues. I definitely appreciate that, you know. I don't like when people start, like, at the top, you know.
Right.
I mean, yeah, because...
You know, if they do good for them, but not everybody has that story, right?
Yeah, exactly. And besides, you know, you don't have... You know, you don't have any challenges in your life, you know, and or maybe you do. I mean, people, everybody's got challenges in their lives. But, you know, when you're born with everything on a silver platter, it's not the same. You know, it's not when you work.
Your appreciation is different.
Yeah. Sure. You know, because, I mean, you know, she's like she may be a publisher of a magazine right now, but she started from, you know, just
passing out flyers,
you know.
Yeah. And, you know, I think life is about journey, you know, like. When I look back, I feel like I lived already 3 lives, you know, like
really?
So much has happened. Yeah. And I see it because when I call my friends back home, you know, they still talk about the same things like 16 years ago when I left,
right.
you know, nothing is happening. And gosh, I don't know where to start, like telling them my stories, because every day is exciting and every day I have some news and every day something happens here. And I just feel like even if I die today, I can... say I feel much more fulfilled life than anyone who lives like a full
wow.
full life, you know. And
yeah.
it's the journey, I think. And like you said, you know, you start from the bottom, you kind of like the journey, you know, and,
yeah.
and you like how you're changing and you're growing and you look back and yeah, I've grown, you know, I make better decisions now. And
right.
It all teaches you something.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, and how did you get into modeling? Was that something you've always wanted to do?
I've always loved modeling, but I didn't think that's where I can fit in at all, because obviously I'm only 5'6". You know, the European norms for modeling are completely different.
Oh, really?
Unless you're tall and skinny and a high fashion model, you're no model. There's nothing else, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas in America, there was this whole... bikini modeling and cute and sexy and calendar modeling and, you know, all that other side, which I wasn't aware of. So when I came to LA, you know, I was doing all these regular jobs and then I worked in the restaurant as a waitress and, you know, people start telling me, oh, are you a model? I'm like, what are they talking about? You know, and you start learning that there's a whole another area of modeling where women like me can fit. So I got somebody who actually met me at the restaurant, a husband and wife, who was a photographer, and she was working with him as a makeup artist and assistant and everything. And she came up to me and, you know, we would love to test shoot you. And I was already 26 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, but I looked, you know, probably
yeah,
like 20
young, yeah.
or something. So I did my first test shots and they actually came out really fun and cute. And they got me an agent and that's how I started.
Wow, very cool. And did you enjoy it? Was it like enjoyable from the beginning for you?
I did enjoy it a lot because... I got a positive feedback and within 2 months I became a SAG member, which I think some people are trying out for years and years.
Right.
Which means I booked 2 national commercials within a couple of months apart. And I think that was a nice welcome to the modeling industry. Like, hey,
yeah.
you got a national commercial with the residuals, you know, coming in.
Wow.
And then I booked a second one right after. So I became a SAG member. And that gave me a little confidence. Okay, I guess there is a market for me, you know.
Right.
So it was nice. You know, I never took it for granted. I always had fun. But at the same time, it's not the modeling like I have the most respect for, which is the real modeling with the real models. And, you know, because this is kind of like a fun modeling, I think. You know? All these biker calendars and covers and, you know, all fitness modeling or whatever. But, hey, I got lucky. I got about 50 magazine covers
wow.
up till now. And so,
wow.
you know, it's fun. But
yeah, yeah. That's good. So have you done work like overseas and stuff as well in modeling?
I did. Where are you from, Sam, if you don't
I'm
mind.
From Israel.
Israel.
Yeah.
Israel. I haven't done anything there, but I've done a commercial for Nike perfume for Spain. Mm-hmm. I worked with Armenian singer Andy on a couple of his music videos.
I mean, did you have to go overseas to do that?
No, everything is made here pretty
much.
I went to UK for one of the, like, a PR jobs, I guess. And, yeah, that's about it, I think. In Croatia, I did some music video in Croatia. But everything else was made here, yeah.
Right.
Canada, I mean, I've done commercials for Canada and Sweden and all kinds of stuff, but it's all shot here.
Yeah, very cool. We're talking to Katrina Van Durham, and the magazine is Viva Glam magazine. Now, so people can go to the website and subscribe there?
Mm-hmm. They can go to the homepage, scroll down tiny bit. There's a button on the right-hand side that says get your copy, subscribe, and we just ship it right to you.
No, oh, wow.
And you get a free gift. You get some fun, a beauty gift when you subscribe.
Ooh, what is it?
Subscribe. and you can cancel anytime. So, you know, if you don't like it, you can always unsubscribe easily through your PayPal account. But I highly doubt you would.
Yeah. Well, that's very cool. You know, I mean, I'm impressed. I'm really impressed because when I'm thinking about all the different aspects of publishing a magazine, you know, I mean, you have... you know, all the printing and the binding and the distribution and, you know, and
just even creating the content,
right?
And editing all of it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mention the content because you do that with digital as well.
Yeah, but you have to write it. You have to shoot it. You have to produce it. You have to go pick up the clothes. You have to, you know, get a hairstylist and you have to get the model and you need to produce it and get the location and then do the post-production on it. And then you go through thousands and thousands of photos to pick the best ones. And it's a lot. Yeah, for sure.
But I can see how it'll keep you busy, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
And passionate about it and everything, you know, because you're doing something you love, you know.
Yeah.
And it's very cool. Now, the magazine is based in LA, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have staff from all over the world writing?
Yeah, I have some in UK and United States, majority. Everyone's in the United States. I have my graphic team in Europe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I wanted to have a little bit like a European feel, more like, you know, the French or Italian fashion magazine versus, you know, the American style necessary.
Right.
So I think that's what makes it stand out, too. It's more the curly cues and colors and very feminine, I would say. You know, you don't find anything, you know, avant-garde or weird. You know, it's all achievable and, you know, you just feel like you can relate to it. And you can look like it.
Yeah. I know. That's cool, you know. And I mean, I think many women are encouraged when they see things like this and they go, oh, I look plain, you know, or whatever. But there's always ways to look glamorous.
Of course. I mean, we all look plain in a sense, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's just how you learn to, you know, create something from scratch, you know. And I consider myself an artist and I can sculpt faces by painting, you know, and really bring out certain features. And, you know, that's why I started sharing my ideas on the internet, and that's how I had a blog, beauty blog first, and then I turned the blog into the website.
Okay.
So because women always wanted to know, oh my gosh, because they know what I look like without makeup, you know? So they're like, I just don't get it, you know? Like, you just look like a different person. I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's fun. I'm an artist. I want to express how I feel today. I feel like I want to glow today, so I make myself glow.
Right.
If I feel like I'm a hippie, like, I'm going to look more like a hippie, you know? It's just, I like to express my moods, and I think lots of women always feel like they need to live up to certain image, you know? And I think the more you are comfortable with who you are and understand yourself and accept yourself and don't judge yourself, you know, you will have more fun with yourself, because then you can really utilize any information and understand that you can be that superstar, you know, if you want for a day or night. Or
right. So it's a mindset also,
it is.
Right?
It starts with it, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I like how you have all these beauty questions.
Yeah.
Are you going to come home and like
then
try
I'm
to apply
get
the eyeliner?
You're going to try the contouring.
Yeah, the contouring to get your cheeks pop a little bit.
Well, it's because I remember who our audience is, you know, who your magazine's audience is, you know.
Yes, and you know what? It was impressive that actually lots of men came up to me. And like, I have to tell you, I haven't seen more beautiful magazine for 20 years, you know.
Yeah, that's
because
what I'm saying too.
Men love it, you know.
Yeah. I know. Why not? You know, I mean, like you said, beautiful women and everything. And yeah. And I'm sure the health tips are for men as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, we all deal with the same things pretty much. So.
And we cover some, you know, fashion for men as well, some technology, you know, all that. So if you're a man and you want to get hands on Viva Glam and you feel weird, just subscribe your wife and then you can read it as well.
Awesome. So I guess this consumes your entire life now, right? Or do you have time for other things?
Yeah, it consumes my life pretty much. Yeah, I don't have hobbies anymore because what I do is my hobby. And we travel a lot to different resorts, you know, and they sponsor us because they want us to feature them. And we do our...
That's fun.
That is fun, yeah. And we actually have a great story. Do we have time if I share it really quickly? Yeah. So we flew to Mexico in September and I hired a stylist for a male model to style him. And to make the long story short, on the way back, we can't find him anywhere. I'm like, we have to go because we'll miss the flight. Uh-huh. He seems the whole time nice guy, very respectful, always on time. I'm like, what's going on? So we're running late and finally somebody found him after 40 minutes, right? So I, hey, where are you? Like, we're gonna miss the flight. He's like, oh, I'm sorry guys, didn't know what time we're leaving. So we're rushing to the airport. We missed the flight because of him.
Wow.
So now the next flight is exact the same one a day later, and he's trying to get us out on a private plane and all kinds of ways, and none of it works out. He says he'll take care of the night we have to stay there because it's his fault. Blah, blah, blah. We're flying back next day with the same flight. And the plane, when we land at the LAX, kind of stops a little further from the gate. Uh-huh. FBI walks in straight to him, arrests him, takes him away. The guy happened to be the third most wanted man in America for the past 10 years.
Whoa. What?
Yeah, he
goes to become a model so everybody could see him?
No, he was a stylist for the male
model.
Oh,
he was a stylist. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
So he is in prison for 25 years for being a major identity fraud person. Third most wanted man in America for the past 10 years.
Oh, whoa. My goodness. And he became a stylist?
Well, I guess that was his cover-up or something.
How random.
Whoa. But I wish we got an award or something, you know, like the magazine deserves it. We helped them catch him. So, yeah, we have fun stories. You know, it's always fun and it's always the journey you have to enjoy and be prepared for pretty much anything.
Right. Well, that's pretty cool. And, I mean, you started it yourself. Do you have a partner or anything in this? No, huh?
No, just
me. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah,
that's
you know, when you have passion, that will just lead you, I think. You know, you just have to stay true to yourself and know, like, is this really what I want to do?
Right.
And am I willing to do pretty much all the hard work that it takes at some point, you know, otherwise.
Yeah. I know. Otherwise, you sort of like drop it in the middle and you don't finish what you started. You know?
Right. And the number one reason why people don't succeed is because they give up too soon.
Yeah, they quit, huh?
Yeah, they quit before they see any results. But it does take time. Everything takes time.
Right. Wow, it's very cool. Now, I noticed you got a cool tattoo there. What's that tattoo of?
The tattoo is a scorpion in a ring of fire. And I got it when I was dating DJ Ashba from Guns N' Roses in 2008. And he got a tattoo, I got a tattoo. And it was one of those rock and roll moments, you know?
Yeah, huh? Yeah. Because I was wondering, because as models, you can't sport tattoos and stuff, right?
You shouldn't, but you know what? I never cared. I just always did things my way.
And you can cover it with makeup?
You can cover it with makeup, or I actually learned to like model where my hand is turned with my palm towards the camera a little bit. And I purposely got it on the left hand instead of right hand. So when I shake people's hands in case I meet a president or somebody, you know. I just don't have it there. But, you have only one life. You got to live it the way you want, not to anyone's expectations.
Yeah. But it's gutsy to put one on your hand, you know, because you can't really hide it. And, you know, and I mean.
The tattoo artist was trying to talk me out of it a few times before he did anything. I'm like, no, just do it. And I have absolutely no regrets.
Really?
No, it's good times that I remember.
Well, that's good. That's an amazing thing. Katarina Van Durham, the magazine is Viva Glam, and you can go to the website vivaglammagazine.com. You can subscribe to the magazine there, and also, I mean, you've got like recipes here and everything, you know?
Yeah, it's a whole lifestyle, you know? Yeah. We want you to be fabulous, but that starts from within, you know? So you have to focus on the inner beauty and health, obviously. So you have good skin to start with when you want to apply makeup, you know? So everything starts from within.
Right.
So we focus on that a lot, you know?
Right. Yeah, and hopefully when they get the magazine, some of your beauty will rub off on them as well.
Oh, it will for sure. And, you know, it's the energy, you know? Yeah, it's the energy. It's in the magazine. It's a group of us fantastic women who put a heart and soul in it, and we really have passion for it. So I think people sense it, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it is all about energy, like you mentioned. And do you believe in that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Definitely.
Energy and everything, huh? Well, you do yoga and that, so that's part of it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and we do lots of inspirational articles about how you need to think to be healthy or wealthy or all kinds of stuff, you know? So we have a great writer from Ohio who does lots of those, even on the website, actually. It's called the Great Mind column, and it's all the self-help and, you know, inspirational articles that really work, that we believe. And I'm a example, proven example that it does work, you know.
Awesome. Katrina, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Very interesting, very inspiring.
I'll bring you more stories next time.
Yeah, absolutely. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
And so everybody go get the magazine, Viva Glam magazine, and you won't be disappointed. I think it's one of the most glamorous magazines I've seen, and I've seen a lot of magazines. I love to read. So
thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. Jen, thank you.
Thank you.
As always. And try to make it a little warmer. You know, if you can, you know.
I will.
But it was 40 degrees. I bitched on Facebook, and everybody's like, yeah, that's short weather for us, you know.
Right.
So it's all relative, I guess, huh? Yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.